Let's go.
Hello and welcome to episode 36 of the third season of the Connect 2 podcast. I am and remain still Jeff Cullen.
Hey, and I'm Mark Hughes. How are you, Jeff?
I'm good.
Excelente. If you're new to the channel, rate, review, subscribe, check us out. We have a Facebook page where we post links to things that we talk about. And yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
So hopefully this will be a slightly shorter one today.
Yeah, we do go on. You got stuff to do. I got a meeting. Yeah, that's good.
So today is coffee. Yeah, we are sampling coffee.
It's always coffee.
It is from Victoria, BC, where I was about a week and a bit ago. It is from Discovery, and it's called the Discovery Street Blend. Should have notes of milk chocolate, hazelnut, and cherry. And it is from Colombia, which is close to Colombia.
Colombia is close to Colombia?
Yeah.
It don't get any closer.
And it's, so,
where are you from?
Supposed to be,
I am from milk Nicaragua.
Milk chocolate, hazelnut, and cherry.
It's a bit taste it.
Stronger. It's good.
Sweet.
That is good.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I learned?
Dad jokes.
Oh, dad jokes.
Just one.
Just one? I don't have a dad joke.
You don't have a dad joke?
I'm never prepared. I mean, I have some really...
My wife tripped and dropped the basket of clothes she had just ironed. I watched it all unfold.
Well, there's always the infamous... If a man speaks in the forest and his wife doesn't hear him, is he still wrong?
Well, here I got one more. An invisible woman marries an invisible man. Kids were nothing to look at either.
There you go.
There we go.
They have a very transparent relationship. Nothing is left to chance. So what'd you learn?
Can't lie, you can see right through him. What did I learn this past week? I learned a few things. So if you search the internet for why people should podcast, give you all kinds of good reasons.
Okay.
None of which we're doing.
Do you sometimes see why you should not podcast?
No.
Like you specifically?
And no, it's, hey. So there's reasons, if you Google online, there's reasons why you should listen to a podcast.
Okay.
And they're all, it allows you to keep your brain engaged while you're doing something else. It allows you to, fill up the time with something other than vacuous.
Right. Sure.
Right. It allows you an opportunity to learn. You can hear new ideas, new thoughts, connect with others. So that's why you listen. Why people podcast, people to advertise their brand.
Sure.
To learn new things from new people, to be creative.
To be a star.
To be a star, to get your brand out there.
Exactly.
All of that kind of stuff, which is not really what we're doing.
No, that's true.
No, but we do learn stuff.
We do learn
and
stuff.
And we're trying to convey the stuff that we've learned.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's a learning podcast.
It is, of sorts, sure.
Sort. But for me, what does it provide for me? It provides me some... structure, and I liked the technical challenge of setting it up and getting it going. I thought that was really cool. Learning about how audio systems work.
Sure.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And, trying to connect with others. I'm still pretty anxious about asking people to be on the podcast. So that for me is the barrier to getting guests.
The next, I'll start inviting people.
Well, that's fine. They have to be here at 11 o'clock.
That's right. Guy on the bus. Yeah, hey, you want to be on a podcast?
Well, I've asked a few people who said no. So
you know who I'm going to invite? The crazy guy on White Avenue who's all about the Jeebus, you know, the ex-firefighter.
No,
he'd be great. Hard to get him to shut up, though.
What'd you learn this week?
So the South Koreans have another milestone in our slow but continued march to the energy of the future. They broke a record. They ran their tokamak fusion reactor for 48 seconds at 100 million degrees Celsius.
That's very hot.
Which is about 180 million degrees Fahrenheit. The reason it's so hot, turns out, is around pressure. So the sun, which is a fusion reactor in our very own neighborhood, only runs at about 27 million degrees, but the pressure is, they said, a billion atmospheres. So, of course, we cannot...
I can't even fathom.
We can't... Yeah, exactly. So we can't create that on Earth. So because the pressure is lower, although still significant, inside the reactor, which is like a magnetic field, right? We need to have a much higher temperature. So it's, the old pressure-temperature relationship from physics, right?
Very cool.
They have to run it at about 100 million degrees Celsius. And so they want to, their next target, they want to do 300 seconds by 2026. Just keep increasing the sustained reaction. Of course, in the States, they're doing a different approach. They was it last year, Lawrence Livermore, where they actually got more energy out of it than they put in it?
Right.
For not a long time, but it's another massive milestone, right? So it's coming, man.
And this was in China.
This was in Korea. South Korea.
South Korea. Okay.
My son asked me if it was North Korea. I was like, have you ever seen North Korean propaganda where they're like, here we are at the science lab? Shit looks like it's from the 50s. So no, I don't think the North Koreans
everything from,
have a fusion reactor. Yeah. Not just yet.
I did learn one other thing. Okay. So are you familiar with Eric Clapton's song, Layla? It's one of his most
famous songs. It's about Patty Boyd.
It's about Patty Boyd.
Right, who was married to George Harrison.
Yes.
And they remain friends somehow, George
Yeah, somehow the story is bizarre.
Eric.
So yeah. George and Patty were married.
Yeah.
They met Eric. Eric, in his angst and drug-addled brain, fell in love with Patty, and then
it was quite attractive at the time.
If you've seen and then George and Patty, their marriage was kind of
rocky
because he was into a lot of spiritualism and wanted less and less to do with reality,
the real world. Yeah,
and anyway, so they ended up getting divorced, and then Eric Clapton and Patty Boyd were married very briefly. But anyway, the song Something by George Harrison is about Patty Boyd.
Okay.
And the song Layla is about Patty Boyd
right.
by Eric Clapton.
That's right.
So, and in fact, the song Layla kind of, it is an allusion to, I think, a Greek mythological story.
Right.
And of a woman who is married to another person.
So interesting. So he was trying to couch it.
Well, and apparently both George and Eric and Patty knew this.
This was the
parable,
right.
So it's not wasn't very secret.
That's right.
And somehow they were still friends after the whole thing.
Yeah, I wonder if he tried to write it with her name, but it just lyrically wasn't working. Patty, get me on my knees. No, it just doesn't flow.
Doesn't do it.
That's fascinating. I learned a little bit more about the three body problem. I watched Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, did you?
Have you seen his podcast where a comedian whose name escapes me now, but they are funny.
They are pretty funny.
Because
it's called,
like a straight man. It's called Starlink.
Star Talk.
But
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And they were like, it's got nothing to do with the show. So no spoilers. But it's the complexity of the physics of when you have three bodies of reasonably similar mass in orbit.
Yeah.
It becomes so unstable. It's actually not even calculable.
Yeah.
It was two. Then he was going through all of the variants, like a binary star system with a little planet. No problem. Jupiter pulling on Earth, problematic over the long, long, long term, not a problem in the short term. But three bodies of equal or reasonable mass, very quickly unstable, right? And just going all over the place. It was a funny, of course, he's got a great style to explain it.
He does. Yeah. Neil deGrasse Tyson is pretty, he's very, very charming.
AI would be able to calculate that. Supercomputer.
They would probably tell you and you would have six fingers.
That's right.
So today's topic, last week we talked about coffee 101.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about general nutrition, things that we've learned in terms of our battle with weight and, our successes with weight,
right.
Over the course of the years. And, you've recently had some success.
Yeah. So years ago, I had done the low carb thing, the Tim Ferriss slow carb diet, which actually had some success, but I found it was not sustainable. And because there's so many things you can't eat, and then on Fridays you're supposed to like go wild and carb load, and it's actually quite a lot of work, right? I fell off that wagon, and I'd gone back to putting on quite a bit of weight. And then of course I've had the high blood pressure stuff, and so I've been trying to figure out a way to lose weight, started going back to the gym.
Well, and if you lose weight, it has a direct correlation between that and high blood pressure. Exactly. So you can reduce your blood pressure just by losing weight.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's shocking.
So I had gone back to, had been going back to the gym doing November Project, and, you know, started doing some reading, admittedly on social media, but there's a lot of actually, once you start looking at a topic, you know, like on X, like more and more stuff pops up. So there's a lot of people out there who are trainers, and some of it's actually pretty good. And the way I found, if you have 5-6 people who are kind of saying the same things, then you begin to think, well, maybe there's something to it, right? But the bottom line is it's almost impossible to just exercise your way out of being overweight.
Yeah, I mean, you'll see all kinds of ads, get this bod doing this seated exercise or whatever. And it's just like,
it's all nonsense.
It's really simple. Diet,
yes,
and weight are directly related. Exercise, you can be overweight and fit.
Right.
But you're still overweight.
That's true. Or you can also be skinny fat, which is the other end of the thing.
Oh, yeah, where you're skinny, but you don't have any muscle mass.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you basically need both. So anyhow, I about 60 days ago now, I think it just told me it's a simple app, free. I mean, I could get the paid subscription. It's called MyFitnessPal. And basically, all I've been doing, you know, you set a target of weight loss, calculates your calorie intake daily, and it's got recommendations on, based on your age, you know, how much protein and how much this and that. And then you just start tracking. And I've managed to be pretty, I think I've missed like one day where I haven't put the stuff in. And I've lost about 8 kilos. It's about 16 pounds.
That's nice.
Now, weight fluctuates up and down, and it just told me, because I also have a smart scale, so I've been tracking that, and it was like, you're losing fat, and then last week it said, you're losing muscle. I'm like, oh, time to go back to the gym, right? Because the gym stuff, especially at our age, you know, you start losing muscle.
You lose muscle fast.
Decades ago, we started losing muscle, but but when you put on a little bit more muscle mass, it actually then, it works in conjunction with the diet, right?
Right.
The more muscle you have, the more you burn at rest, and then it just helps, you know, with the metabolism. So, but yeah, the awareness of diet, and quite frankly, why this has been helpful, because for about a year, after I had the high blood pressure, they sent me to like the clinic, and they give you the document with the plate, right? And it's like, or like a little cutout plate right here, you know, your plate should look like this. And you're like, the biggest challenge I had was, okay, I want to hit a certain calorie target, but I have no idea how to do that.
Well, right?
How much did I actually eat?
Portion control is kind of super important.
People are like, here, have a cookie. And you're like, I have no idea how many calories this cookie has, right? So with this app, put stuff in, 80-20, you know, maybe 20% plus or minus, doesn't matter. It's not an exact science,
right?
But it's just that awareness has really been powerful to just be thinking about it.
Well, so my experience with this is about 20 years ago, I worked with a personal trainer that also did the meal planning. He had kind of like a...
Is it 20 years ago already? Because I remember this.
20 years ago. And I lost a fair bit of weight.
Right.
But again, it was one of those programs. I wasn't entirely sure how scientific it was. It definitely, definitely has been proven out that a lot of the basic concepts were generally... I mean, he was an athlete. He was in great shape.
Sure.
He was managing his own weight at the same time. And so it was good. I felt great. And I lost a fair bit of weight. I lost like 50 pounds. So that was, I think it was.
That is impressive.
No, it wasn't. It was 30. It was 30 pounds. It was 30 pounds.
Did you have a six pack?
No.
I did. Under my arm, going to the beach.
Keep it in the keg. I keep it in the keg. But I was feeling pretty good. And there's been a couple of other episodes where I've done, so about 5-6 years ago, I lost some weight, using a, anyway, it was a modified version of this diet, similar idea of the diet. And I lost, maybe 20 pounds. But you start with a fast, like a 3-day fast. It's not a total fast, but it basically is trying to change your body system, because your body is used to things. And the other thing that people may or may not realize is that your body will adapt. So if you just restrict calories exclusively, like you don't actually do anything else, just eat less, your body figures a way to consume less calories and still maintain the same weight. It basically adjusts.
Right.
So the idea which behind this program was, you're basically trying to create a shock to your system to start. That was the fast.
Okay.
And I was a little hungry, but I wasn't too hungry. It was okay. Clearly I had lots of fat to burn. And then you basically introduce food, but in a controlled way. So there's like 3 meals a day.
Right.
And the other thing that's really important when you're doing any of these programs is to actually write down when you're eating. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you shock yourself if you look at what you've been eating and go like, holy crap, like I thought I only had 3 meals a day. I'm having 7.
Right.
Because you have little snacks and this and that.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's not good. Yeah. But the idea was, you do intermittent fast, like actual intermittent. The problem is that going every day with an intermittent fast is not intermittent. It's every day.
Right.
So my brother lost. Now he's lost 50 pounds. Wow. He looks like a completely different person. He weighs a little bit less than me, not a ton, but a little bit. And he, but all diet, and he has basically change it so that he has a 16-hour period he doesn't eat.
Mm, yep,
so he eats between 11 and, no, maybe it's noon and 8 p.m. So he just does not eat. Yeah, it's noon. He eats at noon.
Yep.
And his last meal is he has to have eaten by 8, and he sticks to it pretty religiously.
Good.
So, and it's, the pounds have just melted off. Now he's kind of plateaued and it's reached a spot where it's not really having as much influence, but he looks like a totally different guy. Like he outweighed me by a lot.
Yeah.
And,
well, but this is the other thing too. Like, you gotta be realistic. once you get to a healthy weight, like right now I'm on, I think the target is about 1700 calories a day. So I set it for 0.5 pound a week.
2 Big Macs.
Something like that. Yeah.
Something great.
And at some point, it's going to slow down. And then at some point it's like, well, okay. So for my lifestyle and I'll probably maintain, right? Then it becomes maintaining.
Right.
Again, just being able to keep measuring and starting to go up again. Right. That's, I think, the tough thing is when you start going up and down and up and down, it's hard on the,
well, and like
you hit your target and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to quit. Then.
Well, I think that measuring your weight is a bit like watching the stock market. Like if you look at it every day and freak out about it every day, it'll drive you bananas.
That's right.
You need to sort of realize that there are, so if you had a bit more salt the day before, or you haven't had a bowel movement or whatever, all of that, you're going to have a little bit more, or you're going to have a little bit less. Yeah.
Water retention.
Water retention is a big thing. And and what I really notice is I might feel a little bit heavier, but it doesn't mean you are.
Yeah.
And I might feel a little lighter, but that doesn't mean you are.
Well, that's a good point. You know, if you are obsessing about it on a day-by-day basis, it doesn't work.
Right? I mean, it's really about monitoring and structure.
Yeah, and looking at trends over time. And so far, I've been really pleased with just that heightened deliberate, because like you pointed out, I think a lot of we're busy and often you put stuff in your face and you don't even realize, you know, that you did it or how often or how much, right? Like we have pizza every Friday and we used to just shovel pizza in, right? Well, now I know usually by what I've ate at lunch and breakfast, if I have like 5 slices of pizza, a part of our Friday, I'm pretty much on track, right? If I want to throw a beer in there, shave it back to 4 slices plus the beer,
yeah,
right? And it puts me kind of in the zone. Just that awareness is, I think, what's really the big advantage. Because before, I would be just like, wouldn't even think about it, right? I have 2 beers, 3 beers. Well, maybe not 3, but...
Well, and alcohol is...
And 7-8 slices of pizza because, hey, it's good. And
exactly.
And then you realize the next morning, oh my God, I ate way too much.
Well, for me, pizza and bread in general is deadly. So yes. I like it. Fortunately, I really like it. And it is not so good for my weight.
Well, again, an awareness. So that was part of that 4-hour body. You cut out all bread, no dairy. And this comedian, Tom Papa, who's really funny. Like he's, I don't know if you Tom Papa, but he does.
No, I've never heard.
A lot of just like regular guy, you know, his wife, his kids. But he was talking about that, you know, people he knows who've given up bread. And he's like, given up bread? Why don't you just kill yourself? You know?
Exactly.
Like, what kind of life are you living that you don't eat bread? By this approach, I'll have a piece of bread, you know? And if, we bring in a French bread because we're doing pasta, I thoroughly enjoy it. Because it's not sustainable to constantly be like, you know, denying yourself stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're human, right?
That's right.
It just builds up and builds up and builds up. And this is where I think you see people, like they kind of lose it and they suddenly eat like 2 pounds of ice cream in one sitting. And you're what are you doing?
Exactly.
It's like, I've been so good for so long, right? So it's that.
Well, and finding
maintaining
and finding a way to maintain it is the kind of thing. Because some extreme diets, they're good in the short run, but then you can't maintain it. It's like the Ozempic stuff.
I'll tell you, like a hypertensive episode where you hit like 200 over 120 is a pretty good. I mean, I don't want to have any more of those, but I'm keeping that in the back of my mind.
It's called it, like, called Jesus movement.
Yeah, I was like, holy crap, what is happening? Right. Yeah.
But like
Ozempic,
apparently, like, so it's a diabetic treatment.
Like they're having a problem with
it. But it also has a significant effect on your weight. Like you basically the weight melts off.
Right.
So it's an expensive way to lose weight, but you don't have to do much. You just don't eat as much because you're not as hungry.
Yeah.
Here's the catch.
Your diabetic neighbor, he can't get it.
But you can. But
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, too bad for him.
Yeah. But
should have gone to Wharton.
But apparently, as soon as you stop, you go, it all comes back. So it's kind of like, and I don't think they actually know what the long term consequences are for being on Ozempic or it's not just Ozempic. It's it's a class of drugs, and Ozempic is one of them.
I think this is kind of the message that I've gotten from a lot of these. Content posters is that for a lot of them, they're basically saying, look, there's no magic bullet. There's no easy way to do this. It's physics, it's biology. And at the end of the day, you know, all of these fast, I mean, you're standing at the checkout counter and, you know, they still have these tabloids and whatnot. And it's just like, you know, lose 50 pounds in a month. right? You know, for get ready for summer, lose 50 pounds in a month. That's crazy. Like if you manage to actually pull that off, you're going to look good for, well, first of all, you're going to be very tired, but you know, by the time fall comes around, you're going to be, you'll have gained 80 pounds and, well, and damaged your liver. And I mean,
well, and I think the key things are, so you need to record what you're eating. You need to keep track of it. You need to eat with purpose in terms of eat good quality stuff, not junk stuff, because those are a lot of empty calories.
Yeah.
I think the other thing to be aware of is that if you do the same thing every day, your body will adjust to it and will stop losing weight or gaining weight, or it, you have to basically continuously trick your body. It's kind of like the Freeman walk on the sands of Arrakis. So you do the sandworms kind of, has to be kind of irregular.
Yes.
So the structure provides the foundation. Yeah. The if you have a concerted approach to it, but you need to make sure that you're kind of mixing it up a little bit in terms of maybe time of day or some quantities of certain types of food. The other thing you need to do is get rid of generally simple starches, like the pastas, the rices, the potatoes are okay occasionally, but not with every meal.
No.
And breads in particular are bad. Some people are really sensitive to gluten. So some people really notice when they cut the breads out that they actually start feeling better just by the reduction of gluten. Yeah. And gluten is in everything.
The other big one is alcohol.
Oh, yeah. Alcohol is surprising.
Yeah.
And alcohol is a carcinogenic substance. Like, it's well known that alcohol causes cancer.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So alcohol causes cancer, and people continue to consume alcohol. But
not secondhand booze.
No, there's no secondhand booze. I like that. That's good. Yeah. Just kissing somebody that has had booze.
Secondhand booze causes
bad decisions.
Well, and unfortunately, sometimes facial injuries. That'll happen to you. Secondhand booze.
Yeah, sometimes firsthand too.
He slapped me around again. Oh. So. So fascinating. Anyway, so it's a journey. That's the other thing. And Louis C.K. had a good bit about this, right? And I think this touches on our society. We continue to look for easy answers. So it's like, well, how long do I have to be on this, nututional thing? Forever.
Yeah, that's right.
It's
not, you need.
Because he talks about having a sore ankle and going to see the doctor, and the guy gives him all these exercises, and he's like, great, how long do I have to do that? No, that's just something you do now.
Every day.
Yeah, you're old. And he's like, can I have some kind of surgery if I was a professional? No, you're not a professional athlete, so no.
No, and this, I mean, like I had troubles with my Achilles tendon on my right foot.
Oh, yeah.
Was giving me, like, I was having troubles walking. Mm. And then when I went to the physiotherapist for it, they said, there's nothing wrong with your Achilles. This is a hip issue.
Yes.
And I'm going like, what? And apparently, so my hip was so stiff and immobile that it was causing me to change my gait.
I know.
Which changed, and it basically referred and made its way to my Achilles. So as soon as I start exercise, it's weird. It's kind of like if you want to get work from Bob, you got to go and do the sales pitch to Jill.
Those guys are amazing, though. We used to see the same guy. Yeah, I don't see somebody else now, but we still see the same guy, my wife and I. And it's the same thing. Like when you're dealing with people who know what they're doing, and she's had stuff where, it was she had some ribs that were kind of a little bit out of alignment. And it was hurting her. And I've had the same thing. Like my neck is sort of sore. And he checks you out and he's like, well, neck's fine. But yeah, it's some other part of your body that's gotten, a little bit out of alignment and everything is, or the hip thing. I had the same thing. Bad Achilles, both feet sore. Well, your hips are all tight, because of the way the nerves go. And it's like pop. It's like, oh man, my mobility goes up immediately. Right. Then there's the exercises you're supposed to do, which you do for 3 months, then you stop doing them, and you got to go see him again in a year. But maybe not. Maybe we'll be a little bit more deliberate.
Okay.
Media.
What kind of media are you consuming? A bit of a shorter episode this year.
Yeah. You know, I've just been super busy. I haven't really been consuming tons. I think I mentioned I finally watched the end of Loki.
Yes, that was last.
Many, many attempts. What did I watch? Really nothing new.
I finished Three Body Problem.
Okay. I've been really enjoying it.
The production values are through the roof. Yeah. Apparently, so the author, Sijin Lee, I think I'm pronouncing it close, but it's not quite right.
Yeah.
And he's like one of China's most celebrated authors. Ooh. It's a super, so the book, it's kind of like as groundbreaking in a lot of ways as like Dune and Foundation were at the time. Wow. Because it really was way out there and basically perceiving a totally different circumstance.
Okay.
And with some real interesting science-y bits in it. Those science-y bits really make your brain do somersaults when you're listening to it. You're like,
sure.
And it's part of the reason why I thought this thing was unfilmable, right?
Right.
Because there were some weird concepts, like how the hell we're doing
it. I might give it a watch. It sounds good.
There was this Chinese billionaire who decided he wanted to get this
done.
So he worked really hard. He got everything. He arranged everything. And he recently got shot. He got killed.
Oh, right? My God.
He got killed by some, I don't know who it was. I think it was some unhinged guy, decided to kill him. So he never actually saw
Is this like a politically motivated President Xi?
No. But here's the other catch. So this is a Chinese export. It's the most famous author from China.
Yeah. I might check it out just because of that.
First science fiction. So the difference between the book and the TV series is that there are more of the characters in the Chinese one are Chinese. Go figure. I had a harder time with some of the names because some of the names were pretty similar in terms of it'd be like Justin and Justine. Like,
okay,
in English, I know instantly one is a male and one is a female. You might have the same thing in Chinese, but I wouldn't get the subtlety so much with some of the names. So, it's just a bit unfamiliar.
Sure.
But other than that, most of it is pretty close.
I might check
it out. But the production values are through the roof. The catch is it's banned in China.
Really?
The TV show is banned in China.
Why?
Because part of the book talks about the Cultural Revolution. And the Cultural Revolution is off limits in China.
Really?
Yeah.
Like they just deny it ever happened?
I don't know. It's foundational to the premise of why things happen in the...
I wonder how that narrative works. So we were mostly agricultural. Then some things happened. Now we're not.
Yes. Hmm. So anyway, it's
many people went away.
Yes.
Where did they go? Can't really say.
Well, and the other media that I'm consuming is I'm just about finished the third book in the Silo series, where they actually start explaining some of the stuff related to the origin and foundation of some of the Silo stuff.
Okay.
And it's
interesting.
It's pretty out there. Yeah. So
I am reading a book called The Sisters Brothers, which my wife read years ago.
Yeah, we had a comment on our Facebook post about somebody who really liked that book.
Yeah,
that
it's really funny. So I'm still getting through that one a little bit. I'm still reading the Elon autobiography slowly. So yeah, it's just been really, you know, our life has been a mess. So it's finally starting to calm down.
Calm down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So it's good.
Yeah, so the silo thing. And the silo thing is interesting because it talks about the concept of... so everybody in the last century, the big thing is we built a nuclear bomb.
You mean the 20th century?
The 20th
century. Oh, we saw, speaking of nuclear bombs, we saw...
Oppenheimer. Okay.
At my mother-in-law's house when we went back to start packing up. Amazing.
That's really good.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
Anyway, sorry. 20th century, we built atomic bomb.
Atomic bomb. And that changed everything. It was kind of like...
Absolutely.
Because now you could destroy... everybody. Now, one of the things, and they don't talk about it in the TV show.
What did we have? The stick?
Fire.
Fire. The wheel. The
wheel.
The atomic bomb.
Atomic bomb, yeah.
What's next? Fusion reactor.
No. At least Silo imagined a world where you're using nanobots.
Okay.
Now, initially, nanobots are used to, you inject them into somebody to heal cell damage.
That's
so
gonna,
prolongs your life.
That's going to go over well with the,
and only the
anti-vax crowd.
Well, only the rich people can afford it.
Well, because only they are smart enough to go for it.
Right. And it basically, the nanobots go in and they repair all the cell damage.
Sure.
And so you get regular treatments and it basically.
And you live forever then?
Well, you can live quite a bit of an extended life.
Right.
However, if you can fix things, you can also create nanobots that destroy things.
Of course.
So basically they talk about bad actors internationally who are basically designing nanobots to wipe out people with a particular genetic profile.
Of course.
Right? And so it becomes the equivalent of the nuclear bomb. You basically release this and they...
More like the neutron bomb where... It destroys
people, but not the people, not the property.
And stuff. Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, yeah. So it's an interesting concept, especially if you think about it. Like right now, we're just dealing with AI and the effects of AI. But
only beginning to deal with the effects of AI.
Yeah. AI stuff is quite interesting, and the whole scraping and.
Yep. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see where that goes. I have to say that the AI stuff, so in last week's episode, we talked about AI and ChatGPT. And so I asked ChatGPT a very simple question, and ChatGPT responded by, so all I did was create, what I said? I said, create, here. I said, describe the connect. To podcast. That is all I said. Nothing really? Else. And then it says, the Connect 2 podcast is hosted by Mark Hughes and Jeff Cajon, who describe themselves as information junkies. They cover a broad range of topics, including current events, business, marketing, technology, and photography. The podcast often includes discussions about their personal experiences, such as attending events or consuming media, and they incorporated lighthearted elements like dad jokes into their conversations. Episodes feature a variety of subjects. For instance, they've discussed the popularity of chess among young influencers, the implication of modern corporatism, the psychology effects of positive thinking. The podcast is designed to be upbeat and engaging and provides insights and commentary on both heavy and light topics. The hosts are based in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, which sometimes brings a local perspective to the issues they discuss.
Holy man.
That's I put was describe the Connect 2 podcast, nothing else.
That is awesome.
Isn't that?
That's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, and then it's got, if you're interested in, and then it footnotes, there are footnotes to our episodes.
Oh,
and
man.
Then if you're interested in a mix of thoughtful analysis and casual banter, the Connect 2 podcast might be a good choice for you to explore.
Holy man, that's amazing.
So somebody's noticed us.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That it would scrape all of that and somehow combine it.
Well, that's so.
Amazing.
Apple podcasts now include transcripts. Oh. So my wife has taken to reading our podcast rather than listening.
Yeah, sounds
to
good. Because she often says she's tired of hearing your voice. So not so much his ideas, it's more his voice.
Exactly.
We've been married a long time.
Long time. And, so I didn't realize that you can do transcripts. And apparently, like the AI training. For it's a big controversy right now with AI is they've run out of text to ingest for their language, so large language models.
It's bored.
So now what they're doing is taking podcasts, YouTube videos, and all this stuff, and they're transcribing it, and now they're ingesting the transcriptions. Oh,
because it can't do like voice?
Yeah.
It probably could, but
apparently,
not as
well. Apparently, this is how they've done it. They've done it by transcribing it, and they actually, OpenAI developed a transcription app specifically to be able to transcribe YouTube videos.
Interesting.
So that they could actually
upload it.
Upload it.
Yeah. Well, I just saw speaking of AI, yesterday started seeing YouTube videos where they're basically doing like 50s style movie trailers.
Okay.
Of
current
like
movies.
The Matrix, Terminator, but it's all done with, I don't know if it's Sora, but one of these AI.
Well, Sora's not in the wild yet.
Well, so. I don't know what they're using. They don't say, but it's got that look of, you know, the characters look human, but not 100%, not quite.
Okay.
But the style of the 50s and then the voiceover, it's pretty amazing stuff.
Okay.
You know? Now, I don't know how much prompting you have to do to get it to, you know, be accurate. Like the trailer for the Terminator is pretty much like, this is Sarah Connor. And then, you know, this is Kyle Reese, and the robots look a little bit like the Terminator, and the characters look a little bit like the actors. It doesn't look exactly like Arnold, but almost like a James Dean-y sort of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Part of the issue is
it's amazing.
Yeah, you know, and we, you know, this is getting beyond.
Yeah. What
we're talking about. You know, if you're researching a paper, suppose you had to do a paper on something.
Yeah.
And you're researching. And plagiarism is when you copy somebody's stuff.
Sure.
Right? Research is when you copy five people's stuff.
That's right.
Right? So, I mean, the idea is
that, as long as you credit it.
If you credit it, that even takes it the next step further. But if you're not copying stuff.
Right.
And you are using stuff for research. It's not really considered plagiarism. So it becomes a bit of a question. So I know that there's a New York Times lawsuit against OpenAI because they were able to ask it to, they kind of forced it and put in prompts to force ChatGPT to do something like very similar to one of their articles. And then in the end, they got most of their article back through ChatGPT. So it was quite clear that it had ingested
right
New York Times stuff, and then they're suing for copyright issues. But the idea is that you shouldn't be able with the AI get a copy of something that already exists. You get something new. So
there you go.
Anyway, cool. That's it for this week. Have a great week.
You too.
See you next week.
Bye. Okay, bye.